point, do you remember when the first movies come into Monroe?
The talking movies?
Yeah, talking movies, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah? What was it? Do you remember what it was?
Al Jolson and Sonny Boy. At the Family Theater.
Family Theater, where's that at?
It's on Monroe Street.
Across
from your Monroe Theater now.
They're tearing it out.
That one they're tearing out?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was the family.
What was it? Do you remember what the movie's about?
Well, it's about Al Jolson and his and a little boy he called Sonny Boy, and he's put him on his knee and sing to him.
Was it about black?
Al Jolson was painted black. I believe Al Jolson was a white man. But in the movie, he was painted black.
Did you like it?
I thought it was wonderful.
Would you, did your dad take you and the rest of the family? Or?
My dad took me. I was a little boy. My dad took me.
Oh, just you?
Yes.
What do you remember about the Depression?
Oh, Depression was rough. A lot of people didn't have enough to eat. A lot of them was denied relief, welfare, and a lot of them had to go to the governor to get help. It was rough. And a lot of them didn't seem like much hope. But everybody made it.
What'd you think about it? I mean, how did you react to it? Or?
Well, there wasn't much way to react to it, only do the best you could. Work for whatever you could get. Maybe it was 50 cents for 10 hours or 75 cents for 10 hours. But that's all you had. That's all you could do. You couldn't get no help, so that's all you could do.
What was your dad doing? Working? Where was he working?
At that time, my dad was out of work. He got laid off of work. He wasn't doing anything. And my mother was cutting grapes in the summertime. Mm-hmm. Maybe for 75 cents or a dollar a day. And welfare was very, very skimp. If they thought that you was getting any benefit out of it by getting a transportation or anything, you was cut off of welfare for another 15 days. So you lived on what you had for 15 days, or for 30 days instead of 15.
Mm-hmm. You remember who started that welfare?
The welfare, as far as I know, has been here for years, I guess. But then when President Roosevelt got in there, then he started the 3C, he started WPA and CWA, and he started a lot of these programs to help the people to try to, and the teenagers, to try to have work, to have a little bit of money for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever get involved in any of them?
No.
No?
I was involved in WPA. I worked on there for a while. And then I got laid off of WPA. Well, then I couldn't get no relief. So then, is all they would give me was surplus, which was cornmeal and grapefruit juice.
Where'd you get that?
From the surplus office there on Union Street in Monroe.
Would you brought that home to the family, or?
Yes, I had a wife and two children at that time. And so I worked out at Crane's Orchard for a dollar for 10 hours. And it took them money to feed my family.
Mm-hmm. How'd you make out when you were a kid? You were still a kid in the Depression, right?
Yes, I was, I was born in 16. The Depression was 29. So I was probably 13, 14 years old.
Mm-hmm. Did your dad make you work when you were a kid?
Let me go through 8 grades of school, and then he made me go to work. And everything I made, I had to bring home. And they knew how much I made, and I wasn't allowed to spend a penny for a candy bar. Every penny had to come back.
How did they know? How did they know that how much you made?
They knew how much I was working for. When a guy hired me for 50 cents for 10 hours, they knew I better bring 50 cents home.
Did you ever try and put a little in your pocket? Or?
No, I knew better.
You knew better. What would have happened?
Well, I probably got the beating of my life.
Me good.
You remember where you worked and what, you know, how you used to go there and stuff?
And?
Do you remember where you worked when, at that time? Or?
Well, I worked out at, can't tell you the name, was out on Stewart Road. He was a gardener. Then I worked for Leppel's Cider Mill. I worked for Leppel's Cider Mill. That was after I was married. I worked for them for 75 cents for 10 hours. I had two children. And I worked for a guy on Stewart Road when I was staying with my folks, 50 cents for 10 hours. And I had to bring the money home. Then I worked for Monroe Country Club as a caddy when I was staying at home. And I'd have to walk from Patterson Drive on M50 or South Custer, as you prefer, out to Monroe Country Club. I'd caddy 9 holes for 35 cents or 18 holes for 50 cents, and I had to bring my money home. And I had to walk it.
Well, how many miles was that?
That was approximately, well, I lived 2 miles from Monroe. So you figure how far the country club was from Monroe, I'd probably say I had to walk four and a half miles a day, each way.
Didn't you have a bike or anything? That you
no.
Could?
My dad wouldn't let me buy a bicycle. He said it cost too much money. I could have bought one for 50 cents.
You used to walk in the winter like that, too?
Well, not so much in the winter, but when I walked out to Monroe Country Club, my mother and dad was hard up, and I'd walk out barefoot. Well, in the summertime, that tar in South Custer Road would melt up, and hot tar and under your feet would burn my feet. So I asked my mother if I could get a pair of shoes or something. So she gave me a quarter and told me if I could buy a pair of shoes with that, I could have them. So I stopped in Monroe and got a pair of shoes, sandals. It was too tight, but that's the only thing I get for a quarter. So every day on the way home, I stop and get them shoes stretched so they wouldn't hurt my feet so much. Yeah. Well, I made out with them. They helped keep me my feet dry, but they hurt them, but they never noticed they kept my feet dry. But we made it all right. We got through it.
Yeah. Where'd you work during the winter then? If you worked at the country club during the summer?
During the winter, until I was old enough to get into factories, I couldn't work. There was nothing I could do outside of my dad having shoveled snow for the neighbors or something and have them pay me. But then I'd bring my money home from that too. So if there was no snow to shovel in the winter, then I didn't have nothing to do until next year when the gardeners started.
So did you get to go out, did your dad take you like fishing or hunting like that when you were a kid a lot?
No.
No?
No. My dad never took me fishing as long as I can remember, or he never went hunting with me.
When did you start hunting then?
I started hunting when I was about, probably 18 years old when I started hunting. And we was hard up, and I went out to the river and I used to catch fish. And I used to bring them home. I used to catch a lot of fish years ago in River Raisin. My dad finally told me one day, he said, I don't want you to bring no more fish home. Well, hey, us kids liked them fish because we didn't get no meat, so we loved them fish.
Yeah. Why didn't you want to bring the fish home?
Because he didn't like them.
Oh, he didn't like fish?
No, my mother liked them. She liked to cook them for us children because we didn't have meat. He wanted his meat, but we couldn't have meat because there wasn't enough money.
But he made sure he had some. Huh?
Sure, but when I'd catch all these fish, I'd catch nice strings of nice bass and bring them home, and because I wasn't working, I couldn't get a job. And at that time, he said, "Don't bring no more fish home." Because when mother would cook fish, she wouldn't cook meat for dad, and he didn't like fish. He wanted his meat, see. So, but there was no meat for the rest of us, so. Mother had to cook fish for us, and cook meat for him.
When you didn't have fish, how'd you kids make out?
When we didn't have fish, we ate potatoes, meat rinds, And if there was some vegetable, that's what we had. We didn't have no meat. We see my father eat meat, but we didn't eat meat.
So what'd you do after the meals and stuff like that?
After the meal, my father a lot of times had two pork chops. And I seen him take one, put it on my mother's plate, she put it back on his plate, and they'd go back and forth. Finally, they could eat. When they got up from the table, there was nine of us children, we grabbed the bones. See, there's any meat left. But usually they kept it pretty clean. There wasn't much meat left in the bone.
You kids fought over it anyway, huh?
Well, we fought over it to see if there was something left anyhow.
Remember anything about black people being around?
Well, there was black people around, but they mostly was confined down into the east end of Monroe. There was never any black people down here in the east, or on the west side more. There was more down in the east end.
Didn't you see them very much then?
No, I'd never seen any of them at all until you went down into the east end of Monroe, around Clunet, Elmira, Winchester, and down in there. That's when you seen the black people, but you never seen them up and around in there.
Did you ever hear about them?
No, never heard much about them. The only thing is, well, you hear about the white, you hear about the black, trouble like that. The only thing you know is if you read it in the paper. But outside of that, you didn't hear nothing about any of them.
Do you remember anything about the Ku Klux Klan or anything like that?
Yeah, I remember them. I was just a little guy. Hey, we come from my grandmother's one night, and we was out here in South Custer by where Westwood is now, on South Custer, Westwood Drive. There was a peddler house on the north side of the road, and then they had a woods down on the south end of Westwood Drive. And that was all Ku Klux Klans, and we'd come in there and they'd stop us and everything else. They had the white hoods on and everything. Us kids was scared to death. And then they'd get out there in the woods, and we could see it from our house. They'd get out there and burn crosses and everything else. And boy, I'll tell you, us kids was scared. We didn't know what was going on. This was something to us. It scared us off. When they stopped our car and them white hoods and everything else, you know, and I don't know what they asked my dad, but I know they asked him questions and everything else, and we didn't know what was going to happen to us, but finally they let us go. But really, they scared the heck out of us.
Did you ever see what they were doing or know what they were doing?
No, I don't really know what they was doing. All I know is that they was stopping cars and everything else. My dad never did say what they asked him, but then they burnt them crosses out there in the woods. That was only about three, four blocks from our house.
You know whose woods those were?
It was Pegler's Woods at that time.
What, Pegler, was he a member or something?
I heard they were, but Greg, I couldn't prove it. I don't know. It's hearsay. I wouldn't say anything I don't know for sure. Yeah.
You know if they ever caught any, like black people or whatever, lynched them or?
No, or I don't. Were, I don't think that it ever happened to my knowledge. I don't believe so. Of course, so many things went on at that time. I was just a little guy, and I don't know all that went on. That's all I know. There was Ku Klux Klans. There were a lot of them.
What was your mother like?
What was my mother like?
You remember?
The most wonderful person in this world.
Uh-huh.
She was heavy set. She was jolly. She was a good cook and a very good mother.
You know anything about her?
Well, do I know anything about her?
Mm-hmm.
Only what I told you, just what I said. She's wonderful.
I mean, like, how she treated your kids or, like, instances that...
My mother would go without to help us children make sure we had enough to eat. My dad would send us to bed without nothing to eat. My mother would sneak food into us. My mother was a mother you can't describe. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. What did they do? Like, did they ever have nights out, or did they always have to come home and sort of take care of your kids, or did they get out on the town every once in a while?
No, us children were never allowed to leave the house, nor the yard. Until later years, until I didn't leave the yard at night until I was probably 17 years old. And then a lot of times my mother come where I was at and told me to get home. And us children was never allowed to run the streets or stay out after night or have friends over the house. We was confined to the yard and we was confined to the house most of the time, and no friends was allowed to come over there in the yard after dark.
Would your mom, did your mom and dad get to go out?
My mom and dad went out, not often. Maybe once a week or once every couple of weeks. Maybe they go out in the afternoon. Sometimes maybe they go in the evening. But they never was out late hours. It was always home at a reasonable hour, like that. It was awful quiet around my home.
How was the law back then?
The law, you're talking about the law officers?
Yep.
The law officers at that time were more lenient than they are today. And then in them days, a guy could go speeding or something like that, and a law officer would sit there and just shake his head. But nowadays, you don't have to speed very much, just break the speed limit a little bit, and they're after you. Mm-hmm. But in them days, they didn't bother you so much, and it was more quiet. I mean, people didn't seem to be raising so much dickens because they didn't have the money to raise any dickens with. Everything was, depression, getting over with, and
you think
all
they'd
that.
Be, being they didn't get it, you think they'd be fighting more?
Yeah, well, they didn't. They really didn't have the money to go out and really tear around much with. And so, it was more confined. As nowadays, I'm glad the people have the luxuries they have, but in them days, we didn't have them.
I think that's good or bad?
Is it good or bad? Well, I think it's nice that the people can have what they want. I think it's wonderful. But I think sometimes the people sometimes are getting more and take advantage of more than what they should. I think they have everything they want now and they're doing well, but still I think that sometimes the people want more than what they are getting, or more advantages than they're getting.
What do you remember about after the Depression?
About who?
I mean, did you go out and raise a lot of cane and stuff after that, when you were about 20-some years old?
Well, hey, when I was about 20 years old, man, 21 years old, I've been tied down all my life. And I went out and I had me the best time I could have for what money I had. I didn't have much money, but I'll tell you, I spent all I could spend of it to have me a good time, because I was tied down all them years. And I missed a lot of life, but I'll tell you, I tried to make up for it, but I never did, but it was fun trying anyhow.
Well, like, how did you try? How'd you go out and have fun?
Well, you used to go out, and a buddy of mine, sometimes we get a girlfriend, and we go out, and sometimes we go to Jackson, the Cascades, which we really couldn't afford all that gas, but we go up there. And it wasn't bad life. We'd go out to lake swimming, we'd go out on picnics, and just driving all around like that there, what you could afford for gas and everything like that. And we thought it was tearing around, but nowadays people just think it's a dull life, but to us, boy, that was really tearing up the town,
Mm-hmm. What kind of car did you have back then?
Well, I started out with a Model T, and I graduated to a 28 Chevrolet. Then I wound up with a new 1937 Chevrolet. And then work got bad. I got laid off and I lost that. So I wound up with the same thing I started with. Nothing. You remember the bootlegging days, Greg?
Do I remember them?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I remember them, the Holtz brothers. It was Bill, Dobby, and Baldy. They used to go over to Canada. And in the summer, they used a boat and bootleg whiskey back to Michigan. Well, in the winter, when there's no ice or water, then they take a Model T or whatever car they could get, and or a Model A. Model A's would just come out, and they'd take a couple of planks with them, and they'd drive across when the lake was froze over good, and if they come to the crack, they'd take these planks out, lay them over the crack, and drive over to Model T for Model A, and they go to Canada and get a load of booze and bring it back to Michigan. They used to come out here around on Dunbar Road somewhere. They had a place there they'd pull in with all this whiskey. And then they come back in here. Well, Bill Holtz got sent up for 6 months up here around Pontiac or something. They caught him bootlegging. Mm-hmm. He's one of the brothers. But the other brothers let him take the blame because one of them had to take it. So they said, well, take care of your family. You take the rap. So he was up here in, around Pontiac or somewhere on the bootlegging chart. But they used to keep it up in their attic and everything, and it went bootlegging right and left around here at that time. That
How was, old was you back then?
How old was I? Oh, let's see. I don't know, my right age at that time, I don't know, I'm probably, what, 14, 15 years old, somewhere, mm-hmm. I don't know for sure.
Did you notice if, like, your dad or anybody got a hold of some of that?
Yeah, my dad did, yeah.
What?
Yeah, I seen my dad get a hold of that. This guy kept up in his attic in the summer and be just like hot water. And my dad get over there and he come stumbling home. And he didn't know if it was daylight or dark. And he come stumbling home after drinking that stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I remember all that drink.
So your dad pretty well had connections, knew where to get his booze if he wanted it.
Oh, there was a lot of connection to get booze in them days. Even though prohibition was on.
Wasn't the law cracking down on it?
Well, the law cracked down on it, yeah, but they couldn't keep track of all of them.
What happened to the people that got caught? Just put in jail?
Well, just like I told you, Bill Holtz got sent him 6 months. He was one of them who got caught. During the prohibition, I remember my dad used to make his own home brew, because you couldn't buy it. 15 gallons at a time. He made his own wine and own home brew. And I used to have to wash all the bottles with the shot out of a shotgun. And my dad come home and inspect every bottle, make sure I had all the yeast out of them and everything. Then I had to get the bottle capper out and a bunch of caps. And I had to put a little sugar in each bottle and then take a hose and siphon the beer and fill each bottle, each one of those bottles. Then he come home at night and he check it out, make sure I done it right. Well, one day he got a call from a friend that the sheriff department was going to raid him. So he had my brother and I go out, and he had black raspberries in this black raspberry patch at night and dig holes and bury his bottled beer. And we got all the scratched up and everything else out there walking through them black raspberries. And we covered it all over and everything and got back to the house. So in the morning, he didn't get raided, so then we had to go back out to Black Raspberry Patch and dig up all the beer and wash the bottles off, the beer bottle off that had beer in, and bring them back in, stack them up on the shelf for him. They really got picked good, going through them black raspberries, pitch dark, burying his beer for him. And he used to make his own wine, and then when we lived down in Alamy, he was stealing coal off the boxcars on a PM track down there. Him and the border, they'd roll it off because we couldn't afford to buy it. And he had a little still behind the furnace there, a small one. So the neighbor lady called the sheriff department out because he was throwing coal off the coal cars. So the sheriff department went down in the basement to look to see if we had coal. My dad told the border, he said, you take the load of coal up. If you get in trouble, I'll bail you out. So they went down and looked, and they only one little tiny chunk of coal down there. But they didn't notice a little still behind the furnace. And so they come out, and they said, all right, unload it. So after they left, my dad said, well, what are we going to do with all that coal laying along the railroad we throw it off? So the border said, well, let's call the sheriff department, see what he said. So they called the sheriff department. He said, I don't care what you people do with that coal. So they went out and they got the rest of the coal and hauled it to the house and put it in the basement. They never did notice that little still he had, though. I don't know how big it was. I, I'd say probably a gallon or two was all it was, but they didn't notice that it was right behind the furnace down there working. But then he used to make his own wine, and he'd leave it set out in the garage. Well, the alcohol in wine won't freeze. It's just a more or less a water to, you get a little coating of ice on the inside of the barrel on top of the wine. My dad used to go out there, and he had a little stick. He'd poke a hole in the through the ice, and he'd stick his hose in there and siphon out a pitcher of wine. Then he'd call the neighbors. He'd have two or three neighbors drunk before the day was over drinking wine. And there was always something to drink there for my dad and the neighbors. I don't know how they could afford it, but there was always something there. My mother, I remember when she had a baby then, my dad, I don't think my dad was working then either, but he made two barrels of wine. Made a barrel of grape wine and a barrel of blackberry wine. And one of my brothers was born, I don't know if it was, I think it was Ray. And so when the neighbors, when she was in bed, at them days, when a woman had a child, she had to stay in bed 9 days. So my daddy, he'd get all the neighbors, or a couple of neighbors over every day, or else he'd fill up a couple gallon jugs and he'd walk around the neighborhood. And by night, about two-thirds of his friends around there would be drunk with him, too. And so mother, she laid in bed 9 days, and she got up and she said, that's the end of it now, there'd be no more. Well, in those 9 days, they drank a barrel of wine. But they didn't drink the other barrel of wine in 9 days because mother was up, and mother was boss. She was a wonderful woman, but she was boss. But there was always something, we never had no money, but it was always something exciting for us kids because somebody was always around there getting in trouble or doing something around the neighborhood. Not us children, but the grown-ups. Well, if my dad was getting in trouble with my mother, she'd call him down. Neighbor guy come over here one day when we was little, and he told my mother he had a garage in them days. They do still, some of them I guess have garage windows are square and they have four panes in them. And he come over to the house and told my mother my brother busted a window, one of those little windows in his garage. I think at them times it cost about 12 cents. So my brother and the neighbor boy played together. It was right by his property. So he said, well, maybe the Weaver boy busted. He said, nah, I was over there. They didn't bust it. He had to be your son. And one word led to another. I don't know what it was. Us children weren't allowed to be up close to conversation like that. And somewhere or other, he called my mother a liar. I remember him saying that. And boy, my mother hit him, man. She weighed about 250 pounds at that time. She hit him and knocked him flatter than a pancake. He weighed about 225 himself. And she jumped right on him. Boy, my dad had to pull her off because she could have whipped him good. Over a 12-cent window. But he went home and he put his own window in. He didn't want no more of my mother.